Well, hello, it's season 5, and we are super excited that you are here as we dig into one of my favorite subjects. This season, we will be chatting with some amazingly smart and influential people in and around the arts and entertainment industry about something I like to call the inner critic. Who is this mean voice that constantly tries to stop us? And how do we confront it and kick it out of our way? From therapists to deliverance ministers to fashion icons and entrepreneurial geniuses, we are going to talk about that inner voice that wants to stop our creative passions and hinder our ability to shift culture. Head on over to my website, lindseymorgan.co, and use the promo code LOVE for 50% off the Crushing Your Inner Critic Masterclass. And now, let's get to that conversation with this week's incredible guests about their journey with the inner critic.
Welcome back, guys. We are in our second episode of a 5-part series on the different voices of the inner critic. There are 5 voices of the inner critic. Last week, we talked about the voice of comparison and how jealousy and comparison are kind of like cousins, right? And so if you didn't hear that and that sparks an interest in your heart, then I recommend going back to last week's episode. It's kind of a shorter episode, and listening in on how the inner critical voice of comparison operates. And then I give 3 pretty practical, effective ways on how to overcome that voice and those, what I sometimes call ouchies in my courses. So today we are going to talk about the inner critical voice of fear. And I'm excited about this one because I would say it stole a good 2 decades of my life. So I definitely have a bone to pick with this, without question. So I'm excited to go on this journey with you. And to give you some pointers on what I've learned about fear, how it masquerades and hides as other things, and how it can bring shame so that we can't actually see it for what it is and then overcome it with the Lord. So let's start with the second one. Let's start and talk about how it brings shame. A lot of times I hear people say the opposite of fear is faith. And we all know, if we read the Bible, that the only way to please God is by having faith. And of course, we all have different opinions on exactly what faith looks like or means or how it operates in each of our lives. And I think that's okay. I think Holy Spirit is smart enough to take us all on our own journeys, right? Absolutely. But the question is, why does fear bring shame? Well, it's not that fear brings shame, that it's when we try to recognize when fear is operating in our life, the enemy will bring shame in order for us to kind of not see it for what it is. Because if we can see it for what it is, we can actually pretty easily overcome it. Not always. Sometimes it, you know, has a little bit of a stronghold in an area, but often we can pretty easily overcome it. Or we can be led to the stronghold and break that, and then we can overcome it. So let me give you an example. Sometimes, if we have fear about something, shame will come and say, oh, you're not having faith, you better have faith. You don't have faith, you're not going to please God, you better have faith. So that must not be fear, that must be something else. But 9 times out of 10, the root issue is fear. Let's take an example of procrastination. I've heard a lot of people just on Instagram and Facebook and everywhere talk about how they don't want to let, you know, I've even heard people say they don't want to let the inner critical voice stop them this year from writing that book or starting that podcast or starting that business, you know, and they're kind of making a declaration like, hey, I see you, you know, and I love when they use the term inner critic. They don't all use that term, obviously, but for the sake of this, you know, this podcast, I'm going to use that term because I have seen it. I have literally seen people use that term, which I'm like, yes. because, you know, one of the callings that God had asked me to do was to expose the inner critic. And I'm not saying these people learned from me. I'm just saying that he must be exposing the inner critic on a wide range if people are talking about it. So that was exciting for me to see. But when they said, you know, I'm not going to let, you know, myself hold myself back anymore from stepping forward into these things that I want to do, that I feel the Lord putting on my heart, you know, and again, some of them use the term inner critic, which I sort of love. And, you know, as they're doing that, you know, I am in agreement. I'm like, yes, do not let that silly inner critic tell you that what you're doing, you know, isn't good enough or isn't needed or any of that. You know, and sometimes we put things off because we say, oh, we don't have the time, we don't have the money, we don't have the expertise, we don't have things perfect yet. But, you know, and that tends to sometimes be procrastination, right? We're procrastinating about doing something because of this reason, that reason, or the other. When, if you dig underneath that procrastination, oftentimes there's a fear there. And I think I've given this example before, but I remember when I had been asked by God to write a book. And so I had worked on it and 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 worked on it for years, honestly, until I just was stuck, or so I thought. I thought I was stuck. And so I, you know, kind of just let it go. And then I ended up going to ministry school. And so there was just a lot there that, you know, were my quote unquote reasons I couldn't finish it, right? So there I am, kind of procrastinating, but with good reason. Have you guys ever procrastinated with good reason? Yeah, I have too. And so I was like, okay, you know, I just moved on with my life. And, you know, God's a very gracious God, so he's not mad about it. But, you know, he'll bring it back around until you listen. can I get any amens about that? So as that was happening, you know, the Lord brought other opportunities for me to write for other people's books. Some ghostwriting, a lot of ghostwriting, actually. Some just like kind of coaching, some just like writing coaching I was doing with some people and helping them ideate and helping kind of get their book out of them, which was fun. And I'd gotten an opportunity during ministry school to actually ghostwrite a full book for someone. And I did it in 4 months. And after that was done, the Lord said to me, Lindsay, you just finished a full book. Now it's time to finish your own book. And I thought, okay. And so, you know, I felt him say, I want you to get off all social media, kind of fast from some things that took my attention in order to finish this. And okay, God, you know, I'm following him, right? And then he said to me, but I was stuck, you guys, I was stuck. And therefore I was, you know, unable to keep going, or so I thought. And, you know, it was frustrating because I knew what he was asking me to do, but why couldn't I do it? What was stopping me? What was stopping me from doing it, right? And all of a sudden, I felt a prompting to ask God, what is my problem? What is my problem? I knew I had a problem. What was my problem? You know, like, help me. What's my problem, God? Sometimes we are like yelling at God. Look, I've yelled at God. We've all yelled at God. He's big and strong and amazing, and he can handle it. You know, but we sometimes think it's God that like we're waiting on, right? We think it's God's fault that XYZ hasn't happened. When sometimes it's a little bit our situation. You know, there's something in us that's kind of stopping us, and we get mad at God and think it's his fault. But either way, it's no one's real fault. It's something that he wants for us, and you know, he wants us to want for ourselves. So it's always for unto the good, right? It's always unto the good. And so I said to God, God, what is my problem? What is my problem? And God said to me very kindly, back its fear. And I said, well, what am I afraid of? And he said, you're afraid of what people will think. And you're afraid that you will lead them. Well, first of all, he said, you're afraid that you'll lead them astray. And I'm like, you're right, I am afraid of that, you know? And I feel like God just kind of walked me through that. He's like, Linz, like, you know what? Like, you are doing your best to write what I'm giving you. And you have to, you know, and you're showing it to Wise Counsel and other really strong Christians before you publish it. And you have to trust these people have to, like, use their own filter in order to, like, see if, you know, this is for them or not from me. And so I was like, okay, so that felt like that one got sorted. But I still was stuck. So I had asked him, like, what else am I afraid of? And he said, you're afraid that people won't like it or won't like you. And I said, that's right. That is what I'm afraid of, God. And he simply said back to me, well, some people won't, but do it anyway. And I was like, oh, okay. So my fear could possibly come true, but you, as my God, are telling me to move forward anyway. Interesting, interesting, you know? So processing our fears with God is how we get breakthrough in fear. Sometimes, if you're anything like me, I spent many, many, many years rebuking the spirit of fear and, you know, reminding myself, I've not been given a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. 100% scripture, 100% true. But it still doesn't mean we don't have to, like, we don't have to process why we fear something to get to the other side of it. I think often that's the piece we're missing. Again, for me, years of rebuking the fear, of like trying to pray that the fear wouldn't be there anymore. You know what I mean? Like, I can't even tell you. But I will tell you this. Years before that even, I didn't think I had any fear. I didn't think I lived in any fear. I was in this class, because I love classes. I love to learn, as you guys know. I was in this class and I was like, and one of the questions they asked was like, what are your fears? And I literally, with like all of like my, you know, all of my belief in life said, oh, I don't have any fears. And God is kind not to laugh really hard in our face, right? He's very, very, very kind. But the truth is, I really believed that I didn't have any fear. What I realized later is that my whole life was led by fear, but I didn't know it was fear. I didn't know, because fear masquerades and it hides as different things. Fear can hide and pretend it's wisdom. Fear can hide and pretend it's just not even there. And it's nothing to be ashamed of, right? Because if you're starting to feel shame right now, that's the enemy, because he doesn't want you to recognize your own fear. He doesn't want you to get free of it. He wants you to feel ashamed that you have fear. Because if you had fear, you wouldn't, if you had faith, you wouldn't have fear. But that's not true. I hear so many people say that. The opposite of fear is faith. And I'm like, but that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. Perfect love. It doesn't say faith casts out fear. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Or if it does and I'm wrong, someone email me. But it does say, without a doubt, perfect love casts out fear. And where do we get perfect love from? We don't get perfect love from a husband or a child or a best friend or a parent or a grandparent, even though sometimes, you know, in my family, the grandparents seem to be the most adoring. My grandparents were very adoring of us. My parents were very adoring of their grandchildren. So in my life, I would say that grandparents probably are a pretty close second to perfect love. But they aren't perfect love either. Who is perfect love? Only God is perfect love. How do I know that? Because in 1 John it says that God is love. It doesn't say that God created love. It doesn't say that God is the best at love. It says God is love. He is. He is love. He is the person. He's not even the person of love. He is love. Like, you can't even mince words. It's just who he is. And the only thing that's going to cast out fear is perfect love, which is God. Okay, well then how does God do that, right? Okay, great. Thanks, Lindsay, for your rhetoric. Like, how does that work practically in my life, you know? I actually sometimes don't think I'm a very practical person, but when it comes to the Word of God, I was so jacked up when I met God, I had to look at the Word very practically, which I know can, you know, get us off in weird places sometimes, but sometimes not, you know? That's why we have the Holy Spirit, because He leads us. He knows what's going to lead where and how and who and what everyone needs, and He leads us into all truth, right? That's what Scripture says. So when it comes to, you know, the practicality of like, okay, Linz, like, thanks, that's great for that little sermonette there. But how do I practically let love, perfect love, come into me and deliver me from fear? And I would confidently say you have to bring your fears to love and let Him work it through with you, talk to you about it, right? Well, how do we do that? Well, some of you already have ways of communicating with God that you can begin doing this. And if you don't, I have a way that I help people through my courses that are like crazy affordable, that'll be on the link in this podcast, that will give you a very simple, practical, crazy effective way to talk to God about your fears and let Him walk you through overcoming them. Because here's the thing, you might conquer a fear in, you know, money or relationships or whatever it is, but then more than likely you're going to come into a new area where you get to conquer a different fear in a different area. So for years, I tried to look at fear as like this one thing that I just had to like conquer and then all else would be well, you know? And I just started to realize after so many years of conquering different fears, recognizing, right? Because the number one thing, honestly, to start overcoming fear in your life is to recognize that it's fear. Second is to not allow the shame to come. Just to say no to the shame. Shame, no. I know that's shame, and I'm going to not accept it. I'm going to not accept feeling bad because I have a fear. That's shame. When you feel bad about having shame, when you feel bad about having fear, that is shame. Fear comes knocking on all of our doors. We are overcomers in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Well, we're not overcomers unless we overcome things, right? And we can overcome everything with Christ. With Christ. Not just by like leaping over it with like randomly like declaring scripture, which look, I'm all about declaring scripture. I think it's really an amazing way to renew our minds and it's very biblical. And sometimes that works and sometimes that doesn't work. Sometimes God has a different tool for us. And so taking these fears to love Himself, which is God, which is perfect love, which is what casts out fear, is what is going to help you overcome it. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. I wanted to talk about overcoming the inner critical voice of fear, moment by moment, step by step, as we walk with the author and perfecter of our faith, right? We walk with Him hand in hand. Like, this is not like, hey, let me go figure this out and then come show you how great I am, God. Like, that's not what He's looking for at all. He's looking to walk with us. He's looking for us to follow Him and to bring things to Him and to be in relationship with Him. And relationship requires communication. And communication leads to trust. And trust leads to deep, true love. And that's really what the Lord is looking for us. Looking from us is, and to us, is, it's about love. It's all about love. And, you know, if you've ever struggled with codependency like I have, you might have a little confusion about what love truly is, what it truly means. Because for years I heard sermons about love, and what I thought love was really codependency, and it really, really like hindered me for a long time. And so I've had to kind of lean into God and learn love from love Himself, which is God. And it's really helped me a lot, just become a lot healthier and to get on the right track when it comes to what God's really created me to do. And it's just helped me have a lot more joy in my life, a lot, just enjoy my life a lot more, and just prosper in my relationship with God. I've always had a beautiful relationship with God, but it's just like so much better now, you know, that I've really learned what love from Him means and how to truly receive from Him and then give back to Him and then allow myself to love myself and then allow all that love to just be very natural to other people and not such a performance-based love, not such a striving to be a good Christian kind of love. So love is the answer to fear, and communicating with love is the answer to fear as well. So I'm going to invite you guys to take action and to make a change in the way that you are thinking about fear, in the way that you kind of pretend you don't have fear, and rather just see it for what it is. Don't take any shame about it. Take it to the Lord, and He will unwind and undo things in your life that will set you free in another level. So I've got 2 courses available right now. I've got so many more I want to develop because I just am so excited to like see people free to be who God created them to be. So Crushing the Inner Critic is a great course. It is going to teach you how to talk to love. And so it's really going to help you crush the critical voice in every area, not just fear. It'll teach you how to crush the critical voice in every area on a constant basis, on a moment-by-moment, day-by-day basis as it comes up to try to stop you. So that's what I love about it. It's kind of like an all-in-one, you know? We're not just talking about fear. Fear will be one of the things that, you know, it will attack, but it really is just kind of an all-in-one. And then the second course I have available right now is called Receiving the Father's Love. And so it's also going to teach you how to talk to love Himself because He's our Father. And if you really are kind of scared of the Father heart of God, or when people call Him Papa, if that kind of triggers you, it used to trigger me. If you just think it's kind of odd when you hear people talk about the Father and you just feel really close to Jesus or really close to the Holy Spirit, that's amazing. But if you want to also feel close to the Father, I recommend that course. Both courses, are still 50% off because I just want to make them super affordable because I just really believe in this. The promo code is love. Of course it is. So anyway, I hope that this was encouraging to you today. And I bless you. I'm going to pray for us. So Father, thank you for being who you say you are. Thank you that you are pure love. You are perfect love. That you are love Himself. I thank you that that's who you are. And that you have such good things for your kids. And you want to see us free because you already died for our freedom. But sometimes we get stuck, and you're so kind. You love to help us. You love to be our counselor and our comforter and our advocate. I think that's amazing. So I just pray, Lord, that you lead each person
as soon as they get off this podcast, that you lead them and guide them to the next step for them. I bless them in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Bless you guys.
Well, well, well. Wasn't that interesting? We can't wait until next week. Don't forget to grab Crushing Your Inner Critic Masterclass at lindseymorgan.co and use the promo code LOVE to get 50% off. This was recorded at New Vine Music in Santa Monica, California. We would like to thank Leonardo Antinori for producing this track. To learn more about them or to license original music for your next project, go to newvinemusic.com.